Welcome to the Gifters Podcast. I'm your host, Christopher Kai. This podcast is sponsored by the GPS Online Program, which teaches you how to turn your story into a successful speaking and online coaching business. For more information, go to ChristopherKai.com. Our guest today is Bradley Kahn. He is a keynote speaker and self-mastery coach, but especially he likes to ride Ducatis. Bradley,
hi.
Welcome to our show.
Hi, Chris. How are you? Thanks.
So one of the most important things about business and life, frankly, is you have to stand out. And I literally have interviewed over 1,000 people for the podcast alone. And when I saw your scheduling link, I always ask favorite food, most memorable moment, and also dream car. And you didn't actually put a car. What did you put on your scheduling link?
Dream car. Yeah, I put a Ducati V4 SP, which is a kind of race Ducati bike.
So what is it about bikes that people love, especially guys? Like, why did you start? How old were you when you first started riding a bike? And we'll dive obviously into your self-mastery and your work helping other people. But what was like the first moment that you were on a bike and you felt?
My father was into motorcycles. And so he actually got me a bike when I was 3 years old. So
no way, like a motorbike.
A tiny little motorcycle. It probably had a 20cc engine in it. And I had a little garden that I would ride it around, and despite, you know, coming off and burning my leg, it was so thrilling that I kept going. And as I got older, the bikes got bigger. And actually my first street bike, I actually inherited from my mom. It was a Ducati 900 SS.
Wait, so your mom and dad rode bikes?
Yeah, they used to ride with, my brother would go on the back of my mom and I'd go on the back with my dad and we'd go for family rides.
That's very inspiring. I mean, I have a friend, unfortunately, actually, he passed away. His name is Johnny Strange, but he climbed all 7 summits before he was age 17. And then he came back to the States. Yeah, he would do skydiving and bungee jumping. And he actually drove his Ducati motorcycle down to Skid Row, LA, worst part of town. I had this homeless youth program. He was one of my speakers there, along with like Elon Musk and Buzz Aldrin. But what I'm saying is, I always admire people like John and yourself, where if you've never been on a motorcycle, it's like one of the most scariest and liberating things, because in your car, you're guarded. In your plane, you're guarded. But in a motorcycle, you literally feel naked. So I'm just curious. I mean, is that something that you just got used to? Because that one thing about being on a bike, you feel so bare and frankly naked to the elements. So I'm just curious. We'll talk about that and then flip to what you do for a living, because it kind of has parallel in that.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, I love that feeling of being in the elements, feeling the wind on your face, feeling alive. You know, I was riding one time to Zion National Park and was driving incredibly fast through the kind of canyons on the motorway.
100 miles per hour, 120, what do you mean incredibly fast?
I mean, yeah, I was probably doing 130 with music on. Like, I was listening to this band, Dead Sarah, who I just discovered on that ride. And honestly, I can't tell you how free and liberating it felt to just be, you know, one with the bike, one with the road, and just flying through these twisties and just... you know, feeling exhilarated by the music and the scenery and the environment. It's a really beautiful feeling. I mean, I've been riding all my life, as I said, so, you know, I'm very comfortable with motorcycles. I wouldn't necessarily advise somebody to just jump on a race bike and start doing those kinds of speeds, but people that, you know, that have that level of confidence will know what I mean.
No, but that's the beauty, Bradley, because again, whether you're Johnny Strange climbing a mountain or a guy named, I think his name is Steve Holding. He like free climbs El Capitan, or me on a stage. What I hope and wish that all of us have the ability is to have that experience of where you're literally in the zone. You're literally free. Like when I'm on a stage, I feel free. Just like you are on a bike. And this is why it's perfect, because you're a self-mastery coach. So many things that go on in life where unfortunately so many people are afraid and scared and they don't want to get on a bike. They don't want to get on stage, but bluntly speaking, they have not mastered themselves. They have not mastered their fear or ferocious potential. So I'm curious, what are some elements of you riding a bike that completely is related to you as a self-mastery coach?
Well, you know, I got to self-mastery coaching through flow state experiences. So through extreme sports, right, you know, like riding motorcycles, martial arts, music, and even in-depth conversation and connection with people, I would find flow state through these experiences. And I was chasing that for a long time until I reoriented my sense of self. You and I had a little chat before the podcast, and you asked me about a Viktor Frankl quote. And I mentioned that I kind of align with Eckhart Tolle's definition of the ego, which is anytime you create a sense of identity in anything other than your awareness, that's ego. And in being aware, in learning, or, you know, understanding that we are a point of awareness in infinity, and everything else is external to us, by really inhabiting that mindset, it reduces a load of suffering. And so that's the mindset that I like to instill in my clients, that, you know, we have the potential to choose how we respond to events in life and not have those events dictate our state of being. Does that make sense?
No, for sure. So, Brad, let's talk about suffering. Let's say for me, suffering, and it's relative to everyone, right? So suffering for me was when I used to work for American Express in New York City, more so not American Express itself. They're actually a great company. I met a lot of great people there, but more so the 9 to 5, going to work, getting in a cubicle or no cubicle, being on a computer, like that was deep pain and suffering where I was in my mid-20s at the time. I hated that life. And I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to be here. So therefore, it compelled me to quit that job, come out to California, write a book, be a speaker. And now, you know, 20 years later, I'm living my dream and helping all the people do that. But I'm curious, do you have any examples of how your clients might have suffered and yet you're able to pull them out of that and help them be transformed to a better life?
Sure. Yeah, there's quite a few examples. So I was working with a cannabis executive who was selling one of his companies, and there was nefarious actors in the deal who were attempting to sabotage the deal, or, you know, get greedy on things. And I showed him how he could remove the expectation of certain outcomes from his state of well-being. So the deal no longer no longer affected him on an emotional level in the same way. And by doing that, he was actually able to really negotiate in line with his values, because it no longer was affecting his state of being in the same way. Does that make sense?
Yeah, interesting. And where do you feel you were able to? Because it's one thing to learn something. It's another thing to be able to help a client clarify their sense of purpose and alignment with themselves. Like, where do you feel you learned this from?
That's a good question. I've been interested in self-development my entire life. And my coaching is an amalgamation of some of the things that I've been through that have really worked with me. So there's basically three frameworks that I use in my coaching. The first one is a wellness framework that I developed that stipulates that if you are truly well, you don't need to see a doctor, you know, frequently. You're not on meds. You're of a balanced and healthy state of mind, and you can do whatever it is you want to do. So I look at mental health, physical health, nutrition, hydration, recovery, and purpose. And by addressing those six areas, you're well and you're able-bodied and able-minded. Then I look at people's values and show them how their values, your core values, are how you naturally spend your time and make decisions about the world. So when you're clear on that, there's much less of the, oh, I would do that or I should do that conversation. And finally, I have a lifestyle design framework that breaks life into 10 areas. So I look at career, finances, family, community, relationships, etc. And I get people to optimize each of the 10 areas of life along a timeline that's in line with their values, and we execute with principles, a bit like Ray Dalio's principle framework, that allows them to really optimize and live their best life.
That's awesome, Bradley. We really appreciate having you on the show today. How can our guests connect and stay in touch with you?
Yeah, please. They can hit me up on Instagram. It's Creative Ninja, and I'd love to speak to them further.
Bradley, thanks again. Have a great day.
Thanks, Christopher. Speak to you soon. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Gifters Podcast. If you want to learn how to turn your story into a successful speaking and online coaching business, go to christopherkai.com to learn more.